Hello there, Cool Soar Collective. It is your friend, Rashan Ali. I hope you are having a fabulous day. Put a smile on your face. You have a reason to smile if you can hear the sound of my voice because you are alive and well. That's a beautiful thing. So today we are joined by a Cool Soar of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. I had an amazing opportunity to work with Autumn Williams, and she is just fantastic. She was the head women's tennis coach at Clark Atlanta University, and Sporty Girls, my nonprofit, we always called on them to do or woman the tennis portion of our events. Get Girl Sporty and our tennis clinics, and they were always willing to help and volunteer and support, and they always supported the girls. And Autumn has since gone on to now become the head coach at Texas A&M University Kingsville, of course the head women's tennis coach, but definitely got her roots at Clark Atlanta University. She is a Chicago native. She will talk all about that and so much more. Hey guys, make sure you are following us on all of our social media sites. Is that what they say it? Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Definitely like our Facebook page. We need new numbers. We need more numbers on our Facebook page. And visit all things Cool Soror at coolsoror.com. And without further ado, here is Extra Layer of Toughness with my girl, Autumn Williams. Enjoy. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I'm a cool soror of.
What's up y'all, I'm a cool soror of.
Hi, I am a cool soror of.
Podcast hosted by me, Rashan Ali.
It is another great edition of the Cool Soror Podcast, and I always love when I get to talk to cool sorors across the country. And we are joined via Skype by Autumn Williams, who is a cool soror of
Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. And so it's so good to talk to you. We haven't talked in a few years.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's good to talk to you on this platform so people can know all of the wonderful things that you are doing at Texas A&M University Kingsville as the head women's tennis coach. But we're going to take it all the way back to Chicago, Illinois. You grew up in Chicago. What was that like for you, being a girl from the Chi?
I had a great experience, you know, in Chicago. It was very different. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. My parents were business owners, but we were a middle class family.
Right.
And I mean, I have an older brother, younger stepsister, and I mean, we were pretty normal, I guess.
Yeah. What kind of businesses did your parents own, or do they still own them?
My mom, for most of my growing up, she was a real estate broker.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a real estate agency for a long time on the south side of Chicago. Well, she started out in Maywood. That's where I was born, Maywood, Illinois, if anybody out there knows where Maywood, Illinois is.
Maywood, all right.
And it's a small suburb, like, you know. she got married, and then we moved to the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had a real estate agency both in Maywood, and then it moved to the south side. And then my stepdad had a dental office off of 79th and Western.
Okay.
What was it called? General Dental Care.
Uh-huh.
And everybody knew he, you know, knew him. Stansby Porter, Stan the Man, as they used to call him.
Right.
And they had it for, I guess, over 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time. And then after a while, my mom closed down her real estate agency. And she was the office manager at the dental office.
Okay.
So they did that. I mean, they did that together from, I think I was probably in grade school all the way up until I think I graduated from college.
Okay.
They ended up selling it to another dentist. And mm-hmm. So she took it over.
Okay.
But the building is still there. And the lady who bought the business
practice,
from,
yeah.
Yes, practice from us. She's still there.
So. Oh, okay. Having parents as business owners, like, how did that, like, help you grow into like the woman that you are today? Even though I'm not sure if you have your own business right now, but their work ethic, like what was it that you saw in them growing up that you carry with you today?
Well, one thing for sure is that they worked really hard. I mean, it was one of those things of, I mean, part of the reason that I played so much tennis was that my mom knew where I was. They were at the dental office. So, I always had this joke with my mom for a long time because I would get dropped off at the tennis club, you know, for my lesson after school. And then I'd be there probably until they closed. And every time I would call, she would say, okay, I'm on my way. I got my purse in my hand and my keys in my hand, my purse in my shoulder. I'm walking out the door. And then an hour later, I got my keys in my hand, my purse in my shoulder. And I'm like, you got to come get me.
Like now.
Right. They're going to close the door. They're going to lock me in.
Wow.
She'll appreciate that story. They it was like their blood, sweat, and tears, that business. And I mean, they renovated and you know, I literally saw the building go from, you know, this small little practice to, you know, at one point how they have the virtual reality, you know, glasses or, you know, phones now. We had that in our dental office.
Oh, wow.
At one point in time where you could lay back in the chair and watch a movie while you're getting your dinner work done.
You guys were on the forefront of having that technology.
Yes. And then right when I graduated from high school, my stepdad is a martial artist. So next door, they took over the building next door and kind of opened up a little martial arts / fitness center and for the community. And so and that was a big part of both of them. They really, I mean, at certain point in time, my mom was kind of toying with the idea of running for alderman, which is kind of like your representative of, you know, for district. And she ended up not doing it, but she was about, I promise you, two shakes away from doing it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm sure that, you know, their work ethic is the reason why you have continued to succeed in your career. But let's talk about tennis. Who introduced you to the sport? Was it your mother? And I know that she wanted to keep you busy, but then when did she realize, okay, this girl is good?
I always say that part of it had to do with around the time when my parents first got married.
Okay.
My stepdad bought me a tennis racket for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure it was kind of like, you know, let me see if I can get on this girl's good side.
Right.
But, I mean, I literally played almost everything. I mean, I swam.
Yes, the swimming.
I knew you loved that.
Right.
I played softball for about 2 weeks. I did gymnastics. But tennis was the only thing that really stuck and that I really became good at after a while. And I had most of my friends from tennis.
Yeah.
My coach growing up, he was my coach from when I was 10 years old on up to, I used to go back. I even still call him and talk to him. So. Yeah. He played a huge part in that as far as keeping me in the sport and keeping me interested and just showing interest in me as a young Black female.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up on the south side of Chicago, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, so and that was his big thing. But I mean, I think my mom just kind of, you know, she would take me out of things like I was not flexible at all. So gymnastics didn't work out. So she's like, OK, I don't want my child looking crazy.
Right.
And I mean, and I've always been pretty easygoing. Mm-hmm. So whatever she put me in, you know, I was kind of like, okay, I'll try it.
Right.
And then kind of had the peace of mind to say, no, that's not your thing. So let's move on.
Yeah. But tennis was the one that stuck.
Yes. Tennis was the one that stuck. Yeah. I'm glad it.
Awesome. And so when you were about to get ready to graduate, were a lot of schools interested in you to come and play tennis? And why did you choose Clark Atlanta University when, you know, maybe there was another quote unquote bigger school that wanted you?
Yeah. Funny story. Well, the thing was, my mom, you know, although she was a real estate broker and my mom was, you know, my everything.
Mm-hmm.
Although she was a real estate broker, she got pregnant with my brother when she was 15. She had him at 16. So she kind of had to start her life you know, much earlier than normal. Uh-huh. And so she didn't really go to college.
Okay.
Well, she didn't go to college. She ended up getting her real estate license and then her broker license. And then she's had her first business. I think she was 21.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So the whole process of going through college was, or, you know, doing applications was new to both of us. Cause my brother didn't go away. He didn't go to school either.
Okay.
So, so the process was brand new. So we didn't know anything. And the moment that she said, okay, you can leave Chicago to go away to school. I kid you not, Rashawn. I applied to every school outside of Illinois.
Wow. Yeah. You were ready to go. Why were you so eager to leave? I mean, I was eager to leave Atlanta, but what was your reason for being so eager to leave?
I think I just wanted a new experience. One, I don't like being cold. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how much I didn't like being cold until probably after my freshman year in college. But
right.
I think I just really wanted to experience something, you know, someplace new, new people, new friends. And I was really excited about that. Then I wanted to play for an HBCU. So I had basically two criteria. One, that it was not in some, you know, Timbuktu town.
Mm-hmm.
And two, that, you know, I could play on it. I would make the roster and play. And those are my basically two criteria. So I was looking at Howard. I applied to FAMU. Mm-hmm. I applied to where else did I apply? I applied to Tuskegee. I applied to, I mean, literally, in Tuskegee was kind of like, I'll apply.
Right, right.
And then I applied to Clark Atlanta. My mom made me apply to Spelman.
just on GP. You got to say you applied.
And the only reason that I was, you know, that I didn't, because I went to an all-girls high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't want to do that again.
Right. Even if you had the brothers in Morehouse, I hear you.
I was like, I'm good on the all-girls experience. Although I had a great time in high school, trust me.
Right.
But, those were basically my two biggest things. I wanted to play for HBCU in the city. I wanted to be in the city. And so I actually, I was being recruited by FAM. Which was funny because we have a lot of mutual friends because of that.
Right, exactly.
Howard wasn't so much looking for me. I think they were a little bit, I think they either were full or I forget what his reasoning was. And then Clark Atlanta came about. The coach called me. We went down for a visit. I loved it.
Of course you did.
We actually visited Howard. We visited Hampton. We did not visit FAMU. We went to, I know.
You should have come to FAMU, darling. We'd be having a totally different conversation.
Because actually the FAMU coach called me asking me to come.
Yeah.
And I had already come to Clark Atlanta. So
okay.
He was a little too late.
Yeah, man. Dang. It's all good. This is your story.
I mean, Clark Atlanta just kind of spoke to me. It was... Like I said, it was in the city. I had a good friend who went to Morehouse, and he, you know, he had great things to say about, you know, the AU Center. And then, I mean, it was just, and the team was, I met one girl on the team and she was really nice. She made a great impression. The coach was super country, but I couldn't think about that. I mean, it just fit all the things that I was looking for. So.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so you were well accomplished playing for Clark Atlanta University. I mean, you won several awards. You took your team pretty far. Tell us, like, what's your greatest accomplishment as an undergraduate student athlete?
We made history.
Okay, just a little history.
Yeah. We my freshman year, I can't remember our record, but we were the winningest team at Clark Atlanta. In Clark Atlanta history, we went from, I mean, freshman year, we ended up losing our conference tournament in the final, but they cheated, but that's a different story. I'm not going to go there.
She's still not over it.
No, still not over. I still remember the match literally, but, sophomore, junior and senior year, we won conference, each year. And all 4 years, we went to the NCAA tournament.
That's awesome.
I mean, and you know, by my junior, senior year, myself and my classmates, we were team captains. I mean, I had an amazing experience as a student athlete from just, you know, and of course the winning had to do with a lot with that, but we were just an amazing group together. We enjoyed working together. My senior year, we put on a fundraising tournament. The team did, because the school, the department didn't want to spend the money to buy us new uniforms. Uh-huh. So we said, okay, that's fine. You all do what you do, but we're going to put on a tournament. So we put on a tournament at Sugar Creek Tennis Center. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, we ended up with money for new uniforms, bags, shoes, leftover money. I mean, and this was probably, and it was all through just the team. So that was, I'd say that's probably, you know, how we work together. I mean, we got sponsorship from Chick-fil-A, from Nabisco. Who else? I mean, these companies that are like, you know, we're not supposed to be talking to them.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, I was the tournament director, and a friend of mine these years, she was the sponsorship director. Another teammate, Chanel, she played in the tournament as a representative for us. And, you know, I mean, we worked together so well, and it was so exciting. We had so many people come out to play and just learn about the program. And I think that's one of the things that kind of got the name out there as far as, you know, Clark Atlanta Women's Tennis and the success of the team and everything. I wish we had done it earlier.
Yeah. But, you know, the great thing about the HBCU experience, because there's a lack of resources on several levels, you have to learn how to be innovative. And I think that is what makes us very different, and it sets us apart.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you have to learn how to survive. I mean, it's I always say that going to HBCU adds an extra layer of toughness, because, I mean, it really is. You do have to be resourceful, and you do have to figure it out. I mean, if anybody out there is from Clark Atlanta, they know our motto that, I mean, I live by, find a way or make one. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just the perfect motto for HBCU.
Absolutely. Across the board, not just Clark.
And I mean, we found a way, and because we just weren't going out. We felt like, okay, we're successful. We're a successful women's team. We are the most successful team that in Clark Atlanta's history. Why are we having to wear things that we've worn since freshman year? So, you know, it was like, out of frustration, let's create something. And we created something great. So, and it's true. I think it makes you tough.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, I mean, I guess the administration probably saw you kind of take this leadership role with this awesome event that you all planned, this fundraiser. And then when did you transition into becoming the coach? Was it very soon after you graduated? Like, how soon after you graduated?
It was actually, 6 years later.
Oh, 6 years later. Okay.
Yeah, 6 years later.
Okay.
But there were several people who still worked at the university who in the athletic department who knew me as a student athlete.
Okay.
So, and I don't know, because we, at first we kind of kept the tournament secret because.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Because it kind of would have, you could have gotten in trouble.
Yes.
NCAA violations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. You know, so, and we didn't want the money from the tournament to go to other teams, basically. So, you know, we kind of kept it. And then afterwards, we were like, well, we fundraised and we did this. And they were like, oh, okay, well, fine. So it's kind of one of those things, do it and then ask for forgiveness later. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So let's talk about when you became the coach, the head women's coach, tennis coach at Clark Atlanta University. I mean, going back to your alma mater to actually coach the program or head the program that was so good to you. How did the opportunity come about? And tell me about the moment when you received the offer.
November 2009, I was asked then, and I interviewed for the position. Mm-hmm. But there was also another person who interviewed for the position, and he had way better credentials than me. and so you know him, Latron Mason.
Yeah, I know Tron. Yes.
And another Rattler.
Another Rattler, yes.
And he had awesome credentials. And so, you know, it's totally understandable. I mean, I had been working as a private tennis coach, giving private lessons and working for the PGA Tour Superstore in the tennis department. So I was coaching, but I wasn't in the collegiate atmosphere.
Right.
So he got the job, and then they asked me to volunteer. Learn under him, which I think there was an ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. Because he ended up leaving after 1 year, and then he ended up leaving in spring 2010, and then August 2010, and that's when I got the offer.
Okay.
And he kind of warned me, and when we were at a match, and he leaned over and said, "Okay, I'm going to apply for this job, so just be ready." And I said, "I'm not ready." And he said, "Yeah, you are. You're going to be okay." And I said, "I don't know. I don't think so."
Right. I hear you.
And so when August came and they, you know, officially offered it to me, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was nervous. I think I was more nervous than excited because, you know, that's a big deal. And the NCAA and, you know, it being your alma mater, and obviously knowing how much pride I had, you know, for the school and for the tennis program and, you know, the things that we had done. I mean, I had high expectations just for myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was kind of nerve wracking. And, you know, after calming down and saying, okay, we're going to figure it out. You know, I'm going to figure out how to make this right. I'm going to figure out how to do this. And, you know, I signed the paper and I was kind of like, okay, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. What do I do first?
I mean, literally there was no manual. So.
Wow.
And then I told, the rest of the group, my teammates and, you know, other ladies that I, you know, knew had played there before and after me, and they were all really excited. "You're the perfect person for the job." And I'm like, "Really? You think so?"
Yeah.
Why? So it was, I mean, after I got over that, I was okay.
Yeah. But then you started having success, you know, almost immediately when you became the coach at Clark Atlanta University. What do you attribute that success to?
Hard work and competitiveness.
Yeah.
Purely. I mean, I am, if you tell me, you know, okay, we're going to race from, you know, for 10 feet, I'm going to try my hardest to beat you. Mm-hmm. I think those were the two biggest things is that, you know, I was going to work, you know, if you give me a task, I'm going to put my heart into it.
Right.
That first year I put my all into, I didn't have much time to do anything else because I was working there, and then I was still working at the PGA Tour Superstore. So, mm-hmm. It was two jobs and two full-time jobs basically. So, when I tell you, I put my heart, sweat, and tears into that.
Yeah, version, you literally did.
Yes. And so, and then, like I said, competitiveness and it was just, you know, the girls were, they took to me, we got along, you know, mm-hmm. I was young. I was in my late 20s. So it was kind of like, I wasn't too far in age from them. And,
right.
You know, so we related much better than we should have.
Y'all were real cool. But what happened? Was there a point of contention when you like actually had to discipline them or anything like that? Or
no, I mean, no, they were a good group of girls.
Okay.
I had one girl who she started her freshman year. She was 21 at her freshman year. So mm-hmm. by the time I got her, she was a junior. And so she was like 23 or something like that. And so she was she kind of helped me. I could bounce off of her a little bit better.
Okay.
And then, you know, she was a natural born leader. So, you know, she would kind of, she became our team captain, and, you know, we were able to work together very well. So actually she helped me a whole lot as far as being able to keep everything together. And then I think when players see how hard that you're working, it makes them want to do better.
Right.
And it was kind of, we had a very successful season, you know, regular season. And, you know, as the season went on and we kind of, you know, everybody, you know, grew in confidence, we grew together. So that made a difference too, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And so in all, you were there at Clark Atlanta University how many years?
4 years.
4 years. And yes, you made history, the only coach in Lady Panthers history to win the SIAC championship as both a coach and a player. That's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's awesome. That's awesome. So now all these, now schools are like, wow, who's this Autumn Williams at Clark Atlanta University? And so tell me how you got to where you are now. And I know that had to be a very hard decision for you.
Oh, it was, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It was a leap of faith. I'll be honest. You know, I got promoted at the PGA Tour Superstore to the corporate office. So I went from in the stores and working in the tennis department into the corporate office where I was an associate merchant, and I helped to open up the online retail space.
Okay.
I kid you not, Rashawn, my days were like 8:30 a.m. I would get to work, and I would be there until about 4:30, 5 o'clock, because you know Atlanta traffic.
Right.
And have to drive from Roswell downtown to Clark Atlanta, and it would take me about an hour. And I would get to practice at about, I'd say, 6 o'clock. We practice. I'd be at the school until 9. And then, you know, go home, eat, and start all over again. And then, you know, and that's just a regular work day. That's not even match day. So,
right.
It took a toll on me.
Of course it did.
Yes, I was tired. there were points in time where you know, I would not get a day off until for like 10 days. And so, and I know, you know, I don't mean to take away from anybody that's, you know, working really hard out there. And this was, you know, physical, and I would be driving, you know, driving the van to and from matches come back to go to work the next day, and I'm at work like, what?
Hello, who is this?
And so, you know, and most of me, you know, in my heart, you know, it was like I would be so excited to leave work, not because I didn't like what I did, but because I absolutely loved being on the court and coaching, mm-hmm. you know, being in that atmosphere. And mm-hmm. so I took a leap of faith. I put out some resumes. I had a few interviews at a few different places, a few different schools, chose Texas A&M Kingsville. And if anybody looks it up on the map, it will be surprised.
Really?
Yes.
In what way?
There's 25,000 people in the town.
Oh, man.
So
wow.
You talking about a girl from the south side of Chicago that went to school in Atlanta. And when I tell people where I'm from here in Kingsville, they're like, so what happened?
Why are you here? What are you doing?
What? And it was an opportunity. The program when I interviewed was only 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, just started the tennis team. So the girls on the team were the first members of the team. And really, it was kind of an opportunity that, you know, you couldn't mess up. It's the only place to go was up. I mean, the record the year before in 2013 or spring 2014 was 3-9. And so, you know, it was kind of like, well, you can't really mess that up.
Right. Yeah. If you go 4-8, you might, hey, we're doing better.
Right. So it was a Division II, and I love the Division II model.
Yes.
You know, so it was one of those things that you know, I kind of had to ask myself, okay, is this something that you absolutely love, or is it just because you're at your alma mater?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you love it because you're working with, you know, girls who relate with you and or relate to you and you know, because you love Clark Atlanta, is this the reason that you love doing it, or is this something that really truly, you know? So it was kind of, I was a question to myself that I had to answer.
Right.
And I love it.
Do you? That's fantastic.
Yes. There's so many facets to it. There's so many, every day is different. You know, I'm a if you can't tell, I'm a people person. I mean, you know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and it's I love working with this age group of women. I mean, it's so much fun mm-hmm. as far as, you know, seeing them come in as freshmen and like clueless and like, oh, the world is perfect. And it's like, okay, well, just wait.
Just wait a minute. Just wait.
First practice and see if the world is perfect.
Yeah. So that's great. And you've already like made, you're doing great things there too. Like you were named Coach of the Year and already and all of that stuff. You've got yeah. stuff going on. You have favor on your life, honey.
I guess.
Well, at least, well, maybe you got it. You're a great tennis coach who's doing some amazing things. How about that?
Okay, yes, I'll take that.
You'll take that. Yes. So that's great. That's great. So now you are not just a tennis coach, but you are like, you get to be a real tennis coach at a university.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I mean, this is funny. I always say I have one job.
Yeah. So yeah, you had to take that chance. You were killing yourself in Atlanta because Clark couldn't pay you full-time money. Yes. I mean, did I say it right? Sorry.
You said exactly right. I mean, when I turned in my letter of resignation to Clark Atlanta, I mean, the provost was like in near tears. He was just like, no, please. I'm like, I can't do this to myself. And I, you know, single and no social life. And, you know, it's like, okay, I got to figure something out. So. Yeah. It was so hard, and I'm still in contact. You know, the girls that graduated this semester, I was in Atlanta for their graduation.
Oh, that's awesome. I recruited,
I was there for their first year. And so the girls who I coached are now they all have graduated from Clark Atlanta. Awesome. There's still one girl there who I recruited, but I didn't get a chance to coach. So,
oh, okay.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. But you set up, it's Keva. Keva is still the
coach. Head coach. Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's great. Well, I just want to publicly thank you in front of all of our listeners and the Cool Sora Collective that Autumn was very, very integral in the growth of Sporty Girls. Every time we needed Clark Atlanta to come over to do a clinic or come be a part of Get Girl Sporty, they were right there every single time. So, and continued after you left too. So I just want to thank you for always just being so dedicated to the youth in and around Atlanta. We are so we're forever indebted to Clark Atlanta women's tennis team. So thank you so much.
Well, you know, it wasn't even a thought. Because I think that, you know, girls in sports, you know, I know what it did for me personally, you know, for my self-esteem, you know, for my confidence. And, you know, if it any sport, not even just tennis, but, mm-hmm. you know, golf or, you know, swimming or soccer, anything. I mean, what it does for you personally as a female is I mean, it's, you know, it rewards you over and over again and, you know, body image and you know, health and just everything. And that, you know, you don't have to become the, you know, Serena Williams of the world or, yeah. you know, it just to have a foundation of moving your body.
Yes. 'Cause you'll want, if you have that foundation, you'll want to continue to move your body throughout the rest of your life.
Yes. So that's why it was so important to me to be a part of it. And I miss coming out and being a part of your events and everything. I really do.
You got to come back. Well, one time when we were having another event, I was going to say, hey, we're going to be here and maybe you'll be in town. So that'd be cool to see you again. That'd be cool. Yay. So that's great. All right. So in 2003, you became a member of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. Now, did you choose Sigma Gamma Rho or did Sigma Gamma Rho choose you?
Well, that's a great question. I chose Sigma Gamma Rho. Okay. And I chose to be an SG Rho for several reasons. I mean, obviously being on the campus of Clark Atlanta University, we had every sorority.
Right.
And Sigma Gamma Rho stood out to me because of what's the word I'm looking for? Smallness of the lines.
Oh, right. I hear you.
I really wanted to enjoy the full experience since, like I said, my mom didn't go away to college. Mm-hmm. We had no other sorority represented in my family on both sides. From my mom's side to my stepdad's side to my biological father's side, I mean, there was nothing. So I didn't know anything about, I knew, you know, the organizations growing up in Chicago, but I had no firsthand, you know, my aunt is a Delta or anything like that.
Right.
So my reason was that, you know, I wanted to start a legacy. I wanted to mm-hmm. start something, you know, in my family that could, you know, okay, we went off to school. Now, you know, okay, what you gonna pledge?
right. The big question for everybody who's in an organization. To the younger ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and then, you know, of course, being on the campus of HBCU, of course, the history in that. And the thing that drew me to SGRO is the size of the lines. And I had two friends who had pledged the line before me. One of them I was really close to. She was also from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And another one, she was an athlete. So I was like, okay.
Right. Okay. My Chicago friend, now another athlete. So it became clearly even more attractive to you.
Yes.
Yeah. But you put something on your information sheet. So you are number one, but you were the only one on the line to cross out of 9 people who started.
Yes.
Wow.
I haven't told this story in so long.
Whoa. I know we may not be privy to that information, but way to go, honey. No worries. No, you don't have to share that. You don't have to. I was about to say, are you close to any of your lines? It's just you.
Yeah. Which is a totally different experience from what I expected.
Of course it is. Jeez.
You know, part of the purpose, and then that's what I, you know.
Wow. But no. You wanted a small line, all right, you got it.
Right.
Man. So are you in a graduate chapter there in Kingsville?
No, not in Kingsville. Kingsville, the closest grad chapter is there's a chapter in Houston, mm-hmm. and Houston is to show y'all how far away I am from civilization. It's 3.5 hours
away.
Oh,
Lord, you can't go to a sorority meeting 3.5 hours away. Sorry.
Yes. So unfortunately, I'm not a part of a grad chapter at the moment.
Right.
But so yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. What is your definition of cool?
My definition of cool, I think, you know, to be yourself and whatever that means to you,
right,
is what makes you cool. You know, to always represent yourself, and, you know, not trying to be somebody else or, you know, what others expect of you or, mm-hmm. Which happens a lot for females in my field of work. But if you can represent yourself well and, you know, always put your best foot forward, work hard, and and not try to be somebody else.
Yeah.
That's my definition of cool.
And that's exactly who you are. Like that, you just describe yourself. It's funny how when people say what, you know, their definition of cool, they're always describing themselves. And I just love the definition that people give themselves. It's awesome. It's great.
I think I'm pretty cool.
You are. We hit it off the first day we met. But then I'm cool too, so hey.
Exactly. Now if you ask the girls on my team, they probably be like, well, most of the time she's cool, but some of the time she's not.
Hey, but you know what, it all makes them better, so it's all good.
Yeah,
it is all good. So how can people find out more about you and about your team? What's your social media? Are you you're relatively active on your social media?
Yes, I try to be. My I have a Instagram and Twitter. Mm-hmm. Both of them are Autumn Megan at Autumn Megan. I'm on Facebook. Autumn Williams. Mm-hmm. for the team, we are at the team's Instagram is at Javelina Tennis.
Okay.
And we have a Twitter, and it's at Javelina Tennis.
Awesome.
For the school's athletic website is Javelina Sports. Javelina Athletics. JavelinaAthletics.com. And you can also find us on Facebook and on all social media for Javelina Athletics.
Right. What's the population of the school?
10,000.
10,000.
So it's a pretty, and what's special about the university is that it's a HSI. So what that means is that, you know, there's HBCUs, Historically Black College and University. HSI is a Hispanic serving institution.
Oh, wow.
So about 70 to 80% of our students are Hispanic. We are in South Texas, which is one thing that I chose Texas A&M Kingsville is because of it still, you know, has the idea of building, you know, educated minority, you know, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's 9,000 or 10,000. Our biggest programs are engineering. We have an excellent engineering school, engineering. We have excellent kinesiology, mm-hmm. Nutrition, and our other big, no big surprise, but our biggest program is agriculture.
Okay.
And just to give you, do you eat ruby red grapefruits?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the school invented the ruby red grapefruit.
Oh, wow. Okay. The ruby red, the hybrid grapefruit, they invented it.
Yeah. There's trivia out there for you.
Right. Awesome. Okay, Kingsville. We love it. Well, Autumn, thank you so much for being a part of the Cool Sore podcast. It's been so fun to catch up and just kind of get the backstory on why you've become this amazing tennis coach and are changing lives now in Atlanta and in Kingsville. So thank you so much and continue success on everything.
Thank you. I appreciate you inviting me.
Absolutely. Autumn Williams, everybody.
My name is Autumn Williams, and I am the head women's tennis coach at Texas A&M University Kingsville, and I'm a cool soror of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated.